nice band of showers and rain covering all of northwest Alabama, and knowing that the cool front is pushing this way and pushing the rain, that's the good news. The bad news is some of the models are drying out most of that rain before it gets to us. So we're keeping our fingers crossed that some of it holds together. Some of us were drenched on Saturday. I was at the fair, and I was soaking wet by the time I got into my car through several layers of clothes. But I got to the house, and there was no rain at all. Today's high in the upper 80s. Tonight's low 67. Tomorrow, behind the front, there could be a leftover shower somewhere, but it'll feel more comfortable tomorrow. It'll still be in the mid to upper 80s, but a little breeze and lower humidity and lows at night in the mid-60s. Then Wednesday and Thursday, upper 80s, lows at night in the 60s. Then maybe some more spotty showers Friday as the second cold front arrives. But this one is the one that has the real deal cool air by next weekend. So hang on, it's coming. Right now this morning, 77 degrees, and the time is 9:02.
I almost got caught in that downpour. It's such a drought, and all of a sudden just the bottom falls out.
It's, my goodness. It's so spotty. And people think when it rains like that it's raining everywhere. Mm. But it was so isolated, but
it cooled things down, though. I like that.
Yeah. You guys got a high-powered radio program today.
Indeed we do. Stephen Reed here in just moments. Mere moments. Yeah. David Woods at 11.
Yeah.
And all sorts of breaking news with impeachment and foreign policy.
And you look, well, you always look good, but you look nice today. You really look nice. You look sharp.
I'm trying to live up to the show.
As my dad used to say, you look like you can write a check.
There you go. That's what I'm going for.
A bad one.
You guys have a good one.
Thanks, Rich.
And Jack, before we really get this thing going,
you got to draw a name.
Let's draw a name.
Well, you draw a name.
The name game for the 9 o'clock hour, Thomas Ard. Thomas Ard. You need to call
him. A-R-D?
A-R-D, yeah.
M-O-U-S-E.
Thomas Ard. Call 396-5477 within the hour. For this week, you get a chance to qualify to win a $1,000 gift card to Dillon Rings on Brown Springs Road. That's a heck of a prize. $1,000 gift card again to Dillon Rings on Brown Springs Road. So Thomas Ard, call 396-5477 within the hour for your chance to win this $1,000 gift card to Dillon Rings. Man, what a prize.
From Alabama News Network, I'm Andrew James. Aaliyah's Marine Patrol Division confirms that the body recovered Saturday was that of 26-year-old Kelsey Starling of Troy. Starling hadn't been seen since a crash on Smith Lake on July 4th. Several people now face criminal charges in that crash. It is crunch time for candidates in Montgomery's runoff elections. Candidates for mayor Stephen Reed and David Woods say they've been busy the last few days of the campaign. Three city council seats have also moved on to runoff elections. The polls open Tuesday morning at 7 o'clock. And educators across the state say thousands of third graders could be held back because of a new reading test. This test is the result of a new state law. Critics say the testing will result in students with disabilities and English language learners being held back. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
Who we make mayor of Montgomery matters. Probate Judge Stephen Reed spent $22,000 of our money on trips to ski resorts, beaches, and big cities. Reed hired a disbarred attorney to run the August election. Reed accepted money from a convicted criminal he called a lifelong friend. Montgomery needs a mayor we can trust. Montgomery needs David Woods. David Woods will clean up rundown buildings, punish drug dealers, and put police precincts in every neighborhood. I trust David Woods. He's not in anyone's pocket.
I'm David Woods. My only special interest is Montgomery. Better schools, less crime, and more jobs.
If you voted for Crowell, Love, Dean, or Davis, on October 8th, vote for David Woods. He'll be a mayor Montgomery can trust.
Paid for by David Woods from Montgomery. 2261 Vaughn Lane, Montgomery, Alabama, 36106.
Sinclair's East, Vaughn at Taylor.
There are choices for all appetites at Sinclair's.
We've got a lot of great sandwiches. We've got a lot of really, really good appetizers. I mean, I hear from a lot of people that they really like our wings, that ours are particularly good. Our quesadillas are great. We do a lot of different things. Shrimp and feta, which is a light one, which is good.
Sinclair's fits your budget and your appetite.
You can come in there and spend $5, $6, $7, $8 and be happy, or you can spend $25 or $30 and be very happy, you know, get steaks and seafood.
Sinclair's has helped. Healthy options as well.
We've got one that's called a beet and blue, which is really, really good. You know, we do several different ways. We do a Caesar salad. Got a Greek salad on it that is very good. Or we do another one that's really popular, fresh fish salad. I mean, we grill fish, or we blacken fish, or we fry fish and put it on a salad. Oh, I see people come in at night and the whole table will have a salad. But at lunchtime, obviously, I see a lot of people come in and the whole table will have a salad.
You can really step it up with Sinclair's Fine Dining. Sinclair's East. Vaughn at Taylor.
If you have a name, then you have a chance to win one of five great prizes.
Play the name game with Blue Water Broadcasting, and you could win a six-day cruise on the Carnival Valor out of New Orleans from Crimson Tide Cruise.
Winning is easy. Register online at our station website. We'll call out names all week long. Play the name game and win incredible prizes.
From Crimson Tide Cruise and Blue Water Broadcasting.
Trust is the firm belief in reliability, truth, and strength. For years, Southern Bell's cleaning service has been earning the trust of families in the River Region. Callan and her crew believe in cleaning the old-fashioned way. Southern Bell's brings all their own supplies, arrives on time, and specializes in full-service residential, commercial, vacant properties, and construction cleanup. Estimates are always free. Call Southern Bell's today at 546-0715 or follow them on Facebook at Southern Bell's Cleaning River Region.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers.
Hi, this is Carl Schmidt, naturopath and owner of The Herb Shop. Listen every Saturday to Winning Wellness and learn from experts in different fields of science and technology how nutritional supplements can help you.
Listen to Winning Wellness at its new time every Saturday at 10 a.m.
It's time for news and views from 9 till noon, Montgomery's conversational radio show. To join the conversation, call 272-9228. It's news and views from 9 till noon, only on News Talk 93.1 FM.
Welcome back. After a long weekend, feels good to be back, Jack. Joey Clark, Jack Campbell, News and Views from 9 to noon. And we're kicking off this Monday show, this Manic Monday. I mean,
hot right out the gate.
We have mayoral candidate Stephen Reed here in studio. Stephen, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing very good, very good.
Great.
Pull that mic up a little bit.
I will do just that.
All right, thanks.
Yes, sir.
So it's been it's not long, but it seems like a lot of events have happened since the larger election. Now the runoff is tomorrow already.
Yeah.
How are things going? Just a general question. How do you feel? How's the campaign going?
Well, look, it is long. Let me tell you, as one that's in it, it is long. You know, in some other cities and states, your runoff elections happen 3 weeks, 4 weeks after. This is a six-week period. I think the legislature just passed a law that will take all that now back down to 4 weeks. So it has been a long 6 weeks, but it's been good. It gave us a chance to, kind of recalibrate our campaign and kind of see some of the things we did right, some of the things that we can improve upon. And it also gave us the opportunity to reach out to voters who voted for other candidates to kind of share our vision with them and to share some of our ideas and to kind of hear some of their concerns and some of their issues. So it's been good to move around the community and listen to a lot of great people that live here that really want to see Montgomery be all that it can be. And it's been great. It's been a great ride for us. And I've learned a lot, that's for sure.
Do you think that you'll pick up Bibby's votes?
I haven't committed to the weed ordinance and the 24-hour downtown. You know, now I think he may have some takers on the chicken places. I think that he was on the phone with Bojangles and Raging Cage and some of the other places on that maybe when it was all over. But no, I don't know if that crowd has moved over to me just yet, Jay.
Okay. Well, anyway, there's It's going to be it's going to be an interesting race. And I told David last week that he needed a more exciting campaign. I know he hasn't really done well at some of the forums. I mean, if you talk to him one-on-one, David's a smart guy. He knows what's going on. But he's not what you'd call the smoothest of candidates. And you seem to be a little bit more relaxed in that setting than he is. But overall, it's been a fairly friendly campaign, hasn't it? I mean, I know y'all have kind of gotten in the weeds. He's talked about you traveling around and spending $22,000 and all this stuff, which I think is kind of I wouldn't have used that figure because it doesn't sound like that much. And then you're attacking him on being a failed businessman and stuff like that. Other than that, it seems to be a decent campaign.
Yeah.
It seems to be more issue-oriented.
Yeah, I think from our standpoint, you know, that's what we run on from the time, you know, we kicked off are the issues that are going to impact voters and impact people that live here in this city, and that's our public schools, and that's our public safety and our crime and neighborhood revitalization programs as well. We've taught small business. We've taught entrepreneurship. Certainly, we've gotten into some of the other issues that impact cities, whether that's sustainability, whether that's the homeless population. How do we take care of our veterans here and work with our federal government and our state government leaders? So we've gotten into those things. And I think our message has been one about really bringing greater opportunity to everyone that lives here and making sure that all the neighborhoods and the people that live in those respective places feel connected to the greater progress here. And I don't think that's always happened. And that's what we've heard even more about is that people want to see, you know, they want to feel a part of what's happening, not just in downtown, not just in East Montgomery, but they want to feel a part of some of that in North Montgomery and South and West Montgomery. And so our thing has been to approach this not from a rectangular perspective of size, but understanding that we're all interconnected and one's ability to succeed impacts all of our abilities to succeed. And we want to see that equity, you know, more throughout the community. And we want to make sure that we're doing things that we can from the mayor's office to ensure that. And I think that means thinking out of the box. I think that means doing some uncommon things so we can get uncommon results. And really pushing forth that message of what we want Montgomery to be in the future and not what we've been in the past.
All right, there's a rumor out there that...
Rumor
and innuendo.
That you favor sanctuary, that Montgomery being a sanctuary city. Is that true or false?
I've never heard that rumor.
Well, answer my question. Is that true or false? Do you want to see Montgomery be a sanctuary city?
No, we're not going to be a sanctuary city. We're going to work with the government on whatever we have to do. But let me tell you what I'm not for. I'm not for picking and choosing which federal laws we're going to enforce and go after. If we're going to be one who works with the federal government, then let's do that equitably and let's do that in a fair-minded way. As a mayor, that's not near. That's not near the top 50. Of the issues that we have in this city. And so to me, that's a red herring. And that's, you know, that's a political wedge issue that doesn't impact us. We're not on the coast. We're not in a heavy agrarian city that is relying on that type of labor or has a high level of illegal immigrants. I'm more concerned about veterans that are coming home who are sleeping homeless in this city right now. I'm more concerned about people in poverty that can't get something to eat and can't find a job that will pay them a livable wage and can't get access to adequate public transportation. I'm more concerned about that than I am, you know, some of the more like, national
and
issues.
There are some homeless folks in Montgomery. What do you have a plan to deal with that?
Yeah, I think, well, one thing we have to do is we have to make sure we're maximizing our public-private partnerships to not only help them get a roof over their head, which is obvious, but also to help them get back on the right track. If that is a mother who has had to flee an abusive household with a couple of kids, how do we make sure that she's in a place where not only she can get a roof over her head for more than a couple of nights, but what is she going to do during the day? How do we make sure those kids get to school? If we have someone who's dealing with a mental disorder who just can't stay in an apartment complex because, you know, they're keeping the neighbors up, how do we make sure there's somewhere for them to go and transition to and get access to the medicine that they need? So what I want us to be making sure we're doing is we're working with our healthcare providers, we're working with our nonprofits in this community, and from a city government standpoint, we're providing the resources necessary to those entities to help take care of people who've fallen on some hard times and some tough luck, and maybe try to get them back on their feet.
Have you talked to any private business people who are willing to participate? You mentioned a public-private partnership to help deal with that. Have you talked to any business folks who are interested in...
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Yeah, they're open to it. You know, some have some things I'm sure that, you know, we would have to work out with the city council. The mayor can't, you know, just dictate it and say it's done. But there are some partners here who are willing to come up with some innovative ways that we can have everything from day camps to skill-based programs in some of their spaces and programs that will help us connect to larger foundations and organizations that are addressing these issues.
Now, I have a question focused on the police department. We've had Mayor Strange in here. He's always talked about the number of officers and different funding levels. I think we've been floating around that 480 number, goes a little above, a little below.
Yeah, what's your budget for about 517, but go ahead.
Yeah, what's your take on, should we have many more officers? Should we budget for more than 517?
No, listen, I think one thing we have to make sure, we have to make sure we have a good pool of police officers. Right now, what you'll hear in talking to mayors across the country is that you don't have the pool right now of the type of people you want to serve and protect. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't people who want to carry a badge and a gun. That the question is, do you want that person carrying the badge and the gun? So we want to expand the pool and make sure that those people who are entrusted and often are the front lines for any municipality are in a place where they can respond not just to those issues that are of high threat levels, but also low threat levels so that they don't escalate. When you encounter, again, someone who has a mental illness or you encounter someone who's acting out because of some other fit, but they aren't a criminal per se, they haven't committed a property or crime against someone, how do we make sure we have the right people in place? So I think part of it is reaching out and making sure that we're building trust in the community and getting our police officers more involved locally so that they know the people in the community and the people in the community know them as well. And then I think from there, we want to make sure that we aren't just trying to arrest our way out of this issue. You can't build enough prison beds to deal with people who are doing wrong or who've gone astray. We have to try to be proactive and be preventative and give them other options at an early age through apprenticeship programs, after school programs, and skill-based training programs for working adults so that they understand there's a way out and up other than maybe doing something against someone's property or against someone's person. So, you know, we want to make sure that the community is safe. It's a health issue. It's an economic issue. Nobody has to lecture me about crime. I mean, I've had a gun pointed in my face, so no one has to tell me about what that feels like. I know what it feels like firsthand. We were robbed two other times outside of that when I was in business on Carmichael Road, you know, where we are. We're on Wall Street, but a block off of here. So we weren't very far from here in a very, you know, nice part of town. Right. So kind of where we are right now is something that we want to make sure that we have the police that we can involve, but we also want to make sure that we're hiring and training the police to do the right thing and to be involved in the community and then work with our other federal partners, ATF, FBI, U.S. Attorney's Office, on things they can help us with as well, whether that's the illegal drug trade, human trafficking, as well as the proliferation of handguns in the community.
Well, and I like what you're saying because I'm very libertarian on most issues, but as I've seen, especially the nationwide conversation with policing, I've been convinced, I think, I don't know if this can happen immediately if you become mayor, but I think officers should have training comparable to a doctor or a lawyer. It should be more training, and there should be more money involved. And is there, because the big problem is you get officers, you train them, then they go to another city.
Yeah,
right?
I think the mayor they tried to stem that a little bit by going over and changing some of the retirement programs so that maybe that will encourage some people to stay. Not everybody likes that. I'm well aware of that. That's been made very clear to me throughout this campaign. But I think that was one of the steps they took to try to reduce the attrition, but also, again, talking to mayors, not just in Alabama, Columbia, South Carolina, other Denver, Colorado, I mean, major areas, it is, there aren't a lot of people, and I understand this, who are just racing to be policemen and firefighters off the scrutiny,
right.
The quality of life, the pay, and also just the other professional options now you can get without a college degree and without debt. You can go, you know, into a skill-based trade and make a lot more money. And, hey, you don't have to put your life on the line, your career on the line. So there are some different things we have to do there. But let me say this as it relates to making sure our city is safe and safer in the way that we want to see it. We want to invest in the Star Watch program. We want to put more money there for sure and make sure that all the cameras that everybody has from their homes and businesses are connected. Somebody said, well, it's kind of like Big Brother watching you. Maybe so, but that may make some people who want to do bad things feel uncomfortable. And the second thing is we want to use data to be more predictive about how we police the community, where are our hot spots, and to make sure that we are tracking those and tracking those people to the best that we can to try to prevent follow-up crimes and property crimes as they happen during the day when people are at work or when someone may be coming home and that sort of thing. So we think data and technology are a very crucial part of the policing, not just kind of the manpower as well.
Well, Jack, we need to hit a break here.
I thought you were going to say that.
Yeah. I was itching to look at it. 272-9228 is our number, folks, if you want to join in on the conversation and have a question for Stephen Reed. He is, again, running for mayor. If you didn't know that already, where have you been?
No kidding.
Call us, 272.
It'll be all over tomorrow, guys. No more commercials.
Well, and if you win, the swearing ends just a few days after. Like, you're ready to go. You're mayor.
Well, that's not till November. So
November,
We have a little bit of transition period, but the work will begin the next day, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Well, again, 272-9228 if y'all want to join the conversation. News and Views with Joey Clark, Jack Campbell, Stephen Reed hanging out in the studio with us. We'll be right back.
For news, weather, traffic, and opinion. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
What's your biggest investment? More than likely, it's your home. So treat it that way when you hire a painting contractor. At PBS Painting, there are no gimmicks, no $99 specials. Just quality painting and someone who treats your home with the same respect that you do. At PBS Painting, we have been painting for years and look forward to many more years to come. With PBS Painting, the job gets prepped properly, whether it's cleaning, scraping, or priming. We always use quality products, which is a must for a quality paint job. So if you're looking for a painter that doesn't need upfront money and is on the job at all times, then please give me a call. Scott Bowers and PBS Painting, 294-5122. That's PBS Painting, 294-5122. Look at some of our work on Facebook at PBS Painting Montgomery.
Hey, y'all, it's Lewis at the Capital Oyster Bar right down here on this beautiful Alabama River. Let's talk about the river. And if you want to get down here and rent you a pontoon boat, bring you a crowd and a crew with you, it's a pretty river and have a good time. We can fix you up. All you need is a driver's license and a credit card. Let's talk about good food. Let's talk about the fried shrimp, fried oysters, fried scallops, catfish. There's whole catfish. Everybody goes for the fillets. I recommend the holes. I'm telling you, whole catfish are good eating. Talk about Sunday afternoon, y'all. This Sunday from Minneapolis, Minnesota, Miss Joy Ann Parker and her band will be in town. That's right. First time Joy Ann's been here. We're excited about that. Love us some new blues. And let's talk about some more news on the river. That's right. We're doing a little soft opening for the RV park. So come down here, check it out. Bring your trailer, your camper with you. Come on down, and we're going to have a lot of fun down here. So check it all out, capitaloysterbar.com. We got a menu and everything that goes on down here. Y'all get on down here soon. Come hungry because we're looking for you.
The Big Bang Gang would like to remind you, the home of Superman is Krypton. The home of Batman. Batman is Gotham City.
I'm Batman.
And now there's only one home of the Big Bang Theory.
This will always be my spot.
That's right. Only one
home.
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 Because now the
only
place you can see the Big Bang Theory all week long is
weekdays at 5 on WCOV Fox 20.
We live here.
Dieting is difficult. Hot yoga is hard. Spin class is tough with a tough instructor. But you know what's easy? Taking the exact vitamins and supplements that are just right for you. So don't take someone else's vitamins. You don't need to, because there's GNC for you. Personalized daily packs filled with the industry's best vitamins and supplements delivered to your door each month. And it all starts with a simple quiz. Look, the journey may be hard, but this part, it's easy. Go to GNCforYou.com. Take the free quiz.
Hi, folks. Dirk Bentley here. Being on the go is a big part of my life. I love seeing new places, meeting new people, and performing all over the world. For energy on the go, for me, it's 5-Hour Energy. It works fast, works long, and it tastes good. With zero sugar and 4 calories. Try it. It could work for your on-the-go life, too. 5-Hour Energy. Energy on the go. For more information, visit 5hourenergy.com.
Trustworthy, accurate, immediate. Carrying your voice across the river region. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Welcome back to News and Views from 9 to Noon. Joey Clark, Jack Campbell, and Hal's with us. Stephen Reed, candidate for mayor. And Jack, you said you had a question.
Yeah. All right, Stephen. There's an elephant in the room, and it's named Joe Reed. And a lot of people have concerns. And I don't think anybody can say you've not been an effective probate judge. I mean, you do get high marks from that from most accounts. I mean, I don't know of anybody that's had a bad encounter with the interacting with the probate office. I certainly have not, and I'm a big critic about that. But I think everything down there is fine. You've run a good office. But people are concerned that your father, who was on the city council, and, you know, even in the black community, he's kind of a divisive figure, kind of controversial. How influential is your dad going to be in the way you run your office as mayor and the way your whole administration goes? Well, I mean, obviously, everybody's dad is their dad, you know, but are you going to be your own man?
Well, I think that's been evident since, you know, not only I ran for office and served the last 6+ years, but just I've been my own man, I mean, since he taught me how to be a man. So that's why, you know, I went to Morehouse College in Atlanta, in part because I didn't want to go to school in the state of Alabama, because I didn't want anybody saying, well, he got an A in this class because of who his dad was, or he got a C in this class because of who his dad was. And so, you know, we went out of state, all of us did, my brother and my sister and I, in part because of that. That probably was also a little bit of a motivator to go into the private sector initially out of college and to go to work for American Airlines in Fort Worth. Nobody knew anything about Montgomery, and nobody knew anything about who my parents were, mom or dad, right? So, you know, there's always kind of been that independence for all of us to kind of prove ourselves on our own. And that's really how we were raised to be. And that wasn't just my parents. That was the entire village that raised us, was, you know, to be who you are and, you know, to carry that whatever your passion may be. So that's been it. When I came back here and I opened up a restaurant, I was just talking about, you know, a franchise to really build, you know, entrepreneurship and small business on my own. I found out how hard the restaurant industry was after 4 years. I found out I wasn't as smart. So, you know, I think I've always been that. You know, my dad is one that I wouldn't pick another dad. I wouldn't pick another mom for what they taught us about public service and what they taught about giving back and serving in this community. And to be honest, he probably doesn't know any more about the probate court now than he knew before I took office. And his joke is, you know, when Walker Hobby was the probate judge, he got information a lot faster under Judge Hobby than he does from me. So, you know, I think that, you know, in his life, he understands our independence, and he understands that, you know, we have different ideas and different thoughts. So he's not really interested in the city, even the campaign, Jack, if I can be honest with you. You know, he's kind of said, well, hey, you know, here's some things kind of for you to consider. And that's his way of saying, all right, just think about this. And he said, but I may not, you know, be right, because I lost my last campaign, and it's been a long time ago. So, you know, he'll offer, you know, some thoughts, but at the end of the day, he's not one who's ever been overbearing. He's not a helicopter parent. They don't come from that generation of people, and I think that's why we were pushed to excel at a high level nationally and outside of here. And, you know, surprisingly, you know, when we moved back, because we had told him we wouldn't, and in part it was because of kind of the culture here and everything you do being connected to who your family is, versus, you know, when I'm living in Nashville, living in Atlanta, you know, nobody cares. You swim or drown based on your own skills and your own production, and that's pretty much how we'll approach it going forward. He knows that if all the things they taught us, my dad and my mom have taught us over the years, are pretty much in us. So it's not something that has to be thrown back out. Now, he knows some different, you know, things that maybe it's, you know, regarding Act 618 or some stuff that he dealt with on the council. Hey, you got to make sure, you know, when those folks call you about getting their trash picked up, you know, you respond to that. So, yeah, you know, it's kind of little nuggets like that. But it's not anything I would say in terms of policy or in terms of priorities. That's been things that I felt very passionate about. Things that he's found out through commercials that people have called him and told on me. Can you believe Stephen is saying he's going to do this as he's running for mayor? And, you know, he finds out probably more from the public than he probably finds out from me. And that's just because of how we operate. And he respects that. So does my mom.
Well, I'm very good friends with Jimmy Reynolds, who is Alice Reynolds' son. And Alice and Joe were on the city council together for years and years. Yep. And they probably didn't agree that often, but I think they had a mutual respect for each other, as Emery and Joe did too, because I know your dad went to Emery's funeral and was questioned on television. He said, well, you know, one thing, Emery knew where I was and I knew where he was. Absolutely. And we didn't love each other, but we respected each other. And I had a chat with your dad about that one night at Jubilee. I ran into him and your mom, and we talked for like 10 minutes, and because I've known him for a long time. So anyway, sure. But there are people who, you know, don't agree with him, who do worry about that. Even the whole John Knight crowd, you know, and I know there was, you know, back and forth with that. But we won't delve into that because I don't have anything to do with you. But anyway, I'm glad you addressed that, and I appreciate it.
Well, why don't we go to the phones real quick?
No problem. Let's do it.
This hour goes fast. It does.
And I can talk long, so y'all need to cut me off, too.
Yeah, I noticed you don't get as many questions in if you have a long-winded answer from the candidate.
Well, you're also talking to a talk show host. I know how to talk. I know what it's like, man.
I've been around this stuff for a long time.
Hey, Glenn Henry on the phone. Hey, Glenn, how you doing?
Good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
How's it going?
Good morning.
Now, Glenn, keep this civil.
Oh, I am.
Okay.
I was listening to Mr. Reed this morning, and one of my friends called in. He's a white gentleman. He's in his 80s. And Mr. Reed was very disrespectful to this gentleman. And then after arguing with the white gentleman, he mentioned about him taking his KKK hood out of his closet. And I'm just disappointed because my grandparents, you know, they're black and I'm black. They taught us, when we talk to people, especially our senior citizens, that we don't argue with our senior citizens, regardless of whether they're black or white. But I'm very disappointed that Mr. Reed argued with that man, and he's 80 years old.
Well, depends so, on know, what...
It sounds like you're talking about a call from another show.
Let me finish. But if you're going to be a mayor and a citizen calls in and they're in their 80s, the best thing to do is to listen to them, address the issue and move on. But he got mad this morning, Mr. Reed did, and other callers were telling him to call around and tell him, how can you be a mayor when you're arguing with a senior citizen? I mean, this man was 80 years old, so I can't vote for you, Mr. Reed. I'm going to vote for Mr. Woods. Temperament, your diplomacy is not there.
Okay, all right. Okay, thanks, Glenn. We appreciate the call. And call back when you're not so upset.
Well, that's a little frustrating for us because he's characterizing a call I haven't heard. But
right, and on another show, which, you know, doesn't impact us. But
he has a right to vote for who he wants to vote for. No issue there. But I think you mischaracterized the conversation tremendously. But that's not on this show, so I'll deal with your questions and your callers that come on this show.
Okay,
no problem.
That's cool. Well, that works.
Luckily, we have another caller. Cedric. Hey, Cedric, how you doing this morning?
How you doing?
Hey, good morning.
Yes.
No, how you doing, Mr. Stephen Reed?
Doing well, thank you.
I'm how you doing?
I'm quite all right. I'm Cedric Sanders from Can a Brother Get a Slice? Pizza Cafe on the west side of town. I want to say, hey, Mr. Stephen Reed, sorry that I missed your debate the other day. I caught half of it on the live broadcast on Facebook from Kevin King on the King's Canvas.
Yes.
I really do appreciate what you're doing, and hey, just keep going for it, man. We're supporting you 100%.
All right, I appreciate that.
We're here. I know it sounds crazy and stuff. I have no question. I just want to tell you thank you, and just keep pushing, man, because you're really a beacon right now for a lot of people. So keep going, man. If you go hard, we're right behind you. Don't give up, because if you give up, man, we're gonna be mad at you, man. All right,
I don't want you mad at me.
I don't think he's gonna give up.
We're too close to quit now. Thank you, though. I appreciate the support.
Appreciate the call.
All right.
Well, we got to hit another break here. Folks, if you want to jump in, 272-9228. Like I said, this hour goes faster than you realize. So we'll be right back. More news and views. Joey Clark, Jack Campbell, Stephen Reed in studio.
What do you get with Greg, Rich, Jay, and Emily Hayes? Three men and a lady. Mornings, 6 to 9 on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Think about where you see yourself in the future. Maybe you're bouncing a ball on the beach or bouncing a grandchild on your knee. Whatever it is, your dream is uniquely yours, which is why Trustmark Tailored Wealth works with you to understand what you want to see in your future. Together, we tailor a strategic plan to help grow, preserve, and protect what you've worked so hard to earn. So see a Trustmark Tailored Wealth Advisor, because your future starts today. Learn more at Trustmark.com. Member FDIC.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/work. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter. The smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/work. That's ZipRecruiter.com/work. ZipRecruiter.com/work.
Hello, everyone. Robbie Pelt with Capital City Roofing. If you think about it, your home is your biggest investment in life. Your roof covers your home, so why jeopardize your biggest investment on a roofer you don't know anything about when you can deal with a reputable roofing company like Capital City Roofing? We have an A-plus Better Business rating and the best manufacturers and workmanship warranties available. We do all residential and commercial roofing applications that are certified through the manufacturer to ensure you get the best material and workmanship money can buy. We also have your project in our best interest before and after construction has been done. Don't hesitate to call us if you have any roofing issues or questions. We will match any of our competitors' price and give you the same great workmanship warranty. We also give free estimates. Give us a call today and let us show you the difference. 277-3311. That's 277-3311. Or you can check us out on the web at www.capitalcityroofing.com. Capital City Roofing. We capitalize the roofing industry.
I'm Wally Dempsey. I own Karcher's World here in Montgomery. I've been here for over 10 years. We recently moved across town to 6383 Atlanta Highway. Without Blue Water, we wouldn't be able to be as successful as we are. They got the message out to thousands of people.
Call us at Blue Water Broadcasting and find out how we can help grow your business. Blue Water Broadcasting. Local folks helping local business.
Rich Thomas Weather, a service of Wiley Sanders Trucking, one of the nation's largest truck lines. They need drivers right now. If you want to know what your home time and your paycheck is going to be every week, call Wiley Sanders right now. Family owned and operated. 855-777-9785.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. Finally, this is the day the leading edge of cooler air moves through the state with showers and thunderstorms, we hope, ahead of it, especially by this afternoon and into the evening hours. High today will be in the upper 80s. Much more comfortable air behind the front tomorrow. We'll hold on to a small rain chance tonight and tomorrow. The highs will be in the mid to upper 80s, but very low humidity. Comfortable at night, low to mid 60s, and near 60 by Thursday night. Not bad. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
When it comes to serving your financial needs, CB&S Bank, formerly Prime South Bank, is committed to providing you the best possible customer experience. Enjoy the same great service from the same familiar faces you know and trust. Come see them today. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
All the headlines the mainstream media won't touch. Your News Talk Station. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Oh, welcome back. News and views from 9 to noon. Joey Clark, Jack Campbell, and Stephen Reed. Stephen Reed, candidate for mayor, is here in studio. And we got some questions on the phones. I do have some questions myself about education coming up, but
yeah.
These folks have called in. I don't want them to be waiting too long. Fast Eddie, you're on the air with Stephen Reed.
Hello, Judge.
Hey, Eddie, how you doing?
One question.
Yes, sir.
I know you're a very good administrator. Your time in the probate judge has proved that. My question is, if you come into the mayoral seat, will you be setting up an entirely new staff? Will you be looking at the good people, even the good people that are on some of it? I'm a fan of Mayor Strange, and he couldn't do the job he does.
Wait a minute, you're fading out on us, Eddie. You're getting near a window or something. Are you there?
Well, I think he's gone.
Was he asking about
the kind of continuity? Are you going to keep certain people in certain positions who've been doing a good job under Mayor Strange? Or what's your approach to this one if you take
So off? One, our approach is not to measure the trades before the last ballot has been counted. So I haven't really given a lot of thought to that as we have to get through tomorrow. And we've been taking a day-by-day approach, to the campaign. You know, I imagine that, you know, we're successful tomorrow. What we'll do is the same thing we did when I became probate judge. We'll establish a transition committee with business leaders, community leaders as well, members of my team. And we'll take a look at what's out there in the sense of, you know, some people think you can just remove everybody. Well, you can't. When you come into the probate judge's office, there are only two people you can bring in with you. Everybody else is merit. So I think on the city side, it may be a few more than that, but not many.
Right.
So my standpoint is always, you know, you evaluate people that are there. Some people have said, hey, this person may retire or this person may move on. Well, again, we'll look at all of that based on what those decisions are should we be successful tomorrow. And we'll make sure we have a good comprehensive approach to what our vision is and what their ability is to fit into that vision that the people obviously would have voted for, and then we'll make a decision after that. And ultimately, I'll be the final decision maker. But we'll have a great transition team, just like we did in 2012.
Well, and I want to ask a quick question about education. And here's my general perspective is
I think I need to be on that transition team.
Wait a minute, Jack.
Hey, you're trying to elbow
what do you mean,
in here,
wait a minute?
He knows everybody, though.
Listen. You have to talk. You can't talk. And, you know, one thing about being on transition team, you can't talk about, you know, all the things that take place during the transition. Now, that might compromise you being, you know, the effect the talk show host you
I
are
know,
here.
I know what I can and can't say.
This ain't the Trump transition, all right? We don't need leaks every other second.
Yeah, exactly.
So, on education, you know, I was blessed, privileged enough to go to private school, went to Catholic all these years here in Montgomery.
Yeah.
But I'm a very much a all-of-the-above approach, let a thousand flowers bloom. Whatever it takes, is education so important? The good thing, it seems like everybody's on the same page of how important it is. So what is your unique take on what you want to do with education and improve it from the mayor's office?
Yeah, you know, I have a friend that used to say, you know, everybody wants to go to heaven, nobody wants to die. The thing is, in order for us to get, you know, to a great educational system, I believe we have to increase the funding in that. I've been very straightforward about that from day one, and I believe that revolves around having good educators who are paid well so that they don't have to work two and three jobs. I believe that means making sure we have adequate support staff for our schools and making sure that we have good schools and good after-school and wraparound services for the students and the parents we're trying to serve. I think that education is by far the biggest issue in this community, public education, of which I'm a product of Montgomery Public Schools, a proud product of that. It prepared me for Morehouse College. It prepared me for Vanderbilt University. All of those things were the foundation. And you have people who say, well, you know, it's not what it was then. Well, and I tell people all the time, you know, again, we have a sense of creating a mythology around the past. They were good teachers then. They were not so good teachers then. There were fights that happened in the halls then. There were good things that happened in the classrooms then. It was never perfect in my 12 years that I can remember at any of the schools that I went to, right? So certainly things have changed. I'm not sure if the community and public education itself across this country has changed. I mean, we've fallen nationwide as it relates to other industrial countries in STEM scores, science and math scores, and reading proficiency. So we have to look at, it's not just a Montgomery issue, but it is one that I think resources will help. It's not the only solution. It's not the silver bullet, but it does help you attract and retain talent. And that talent is needed when you're dealing with a more challenged student makeup than what we may have had when I was at JD, when I was at Cloverdale.
Well, you get more involved than Todd did, and I think Todd has said publicly that he regrets that he didn't get more involved earlier. Are you going to be involved from day one in public education?
Absolutely, because we're going to be partners with our school board. We're going to be partners with the private business community here and community leaders and parents. So absolutely, and I know that is risky, and some in my corner have said, you know what, that's a no-win situation. And I just say, you know, no one knows if you can win until you get in the contest.
Right.
And no one thought you could beat Mike Tyson until Buster Douglas knocked him out. So you can use all the analogies you want to use. It can't be solved if you don't try to fix it. And I want to work with the school board to do that. And that doesn't mean we have to create a city school system. I'm not for that. That just means we have to partner with our school board and make sure that we're building pipelines of trust with them, as well as our institutions of higher learning here in our universities. That's one of the underutilized assets, in my opinion, that we have not brought into this conversation. So I hope that not only the two-year program, but our four-year colleges will be partners with us in addressing public education with the things we want to do around apprenticeship programs, high-quality pre-K, and expanding our educational offerings. Now, that doesn't come by doing the same things we've been doing. I'll be the first one to say that. But if we want uncommon results, we have to take uncommon actions. And it's a matter of, where do we want to be as a community? Do we want to be a first-class community or a coach-class community? I fly coach. I rarely can fly first unless somebody bumps me up or something like that. But we know that those communities that invest in their education are the communities that are growing. Those are the communities where many people in this city, their kids and grandkids want to live. That's Nashville. That's Charlotte. That's suburban Atlanta, Alpharetta, Georgia. That's Frisco, Texas. Those are those cities, and they invest in their public education in those cities, and it's not just one of the things that is a secondary thought. So we just have to make sure we're willing to do the same thing here.
How do you know about Frisco City?
Frisco, Texas. Not Frisco City.
I mean, Frisco, yeah, it's right near Dallas.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I used to live in Austin, so I lived in Carrollton, too. That's
okay,
the richest.
Yeah, that's right.
I know, you. If you work for American Airlines, yeah. Did you live in Fort Worth?
No, I lived in Irving.
Oh, okay. That's where the stadium used to be.
That's right.
And I love what you're saying in the sense that both my parents went to Jeff Davis, where you went. And
right,
it served them well, to Auburn, civil engineer, nursing.
Yeah.
And, I mean, this obviously prepared you for Morehouse and Vanderbilt later. And I want every school in this city, every opportunity for every kid. And I think you're right as you address the shrinking population size of the city. That's a huge problem for so many reasons.
No
right
question. Now. It's an economic threat to this city, and I recognize that. It's an economic threat to a number of cities across this country that are grappling with how to change and adapt public education. That's always a hard thing to do. Is a public entity that has been in place for so long, how do you change that? And I think through trust and collaboration and innovation, we can do that. And in my conversations with some of the board members that I know and I've known long before I ran for office, I think there's a willingness to work together. I think there's a willingness from many of the educators and parents that there's some things they want to do different. They just don't want everything put on them. Right. And I think that's the balance in that, is to make sure that we aren't just bludgeoning the parents and the teachers and saying what they aren't doing, and we aren't doing our part as much as we can from the city and county side to create an environment where they can succeed.
Now, if there's going to be more spending, more resources brought to bear in education, how are we going to fund this? Is it going to be out of growth or new taxes? How will this approach
be? So two things. I think one, you look at some of the current inefficiencies that may exist. So you certainly look at where you can cut and where you can be more proficient with all the services. But I believe that we ought to offer a line item in the city budget of $15 million to the Board of Education for increased teacher salaries. Huntsville City Schools is doing that for its city school system, and I do realize the difference between the city.
What are we currently spending?
I don't think there is a line item right now. If there is, it's just kind of what's going towards education based off of the taxes that come into the city itself. You know, you have your ad valorem taxes fund that through the county, you have the penny sales tax, which goes towards that. What I'm talking about is something that goes specifically earmarked towards educator salaries, because I believe that's needed to bring in, to recruit and retain the best educators to compete with Huntsville.
And this would be from the city to the county system.
Correct. Right. Correct. And it's no different than an earmark we give to any other entity that's not a city, statutorily funded priority in the budget, right? So that can be Shakespeare. It can be a number of things that the city does. So to answer your question, I think that we have to look at other revenue streams. We have a number of properties that have been off of the tax rolls that I would like to see reevaluated to see what that would bring us if they were to put back on the tax rolls. These are hundreds, if not thousands, of properties that we want to look at in that regard. And the other thing I think we have to look at, are our revenue streams in a place where we can keep up with the cities around this country that are our size or bigger, that are growth markets? Based on the numbers now given by Parca, given by the state of Alabama, we receive the least amount of revenue into our city budget of any of the cities in this state and even regionally. So Auburn has an occupational tax. Other Gadsden and other cities do as well. We have to look at whether it's that. Is it ad valorem? Is it, again, bringing the properties back on? Is it even maybe looking at some of the tourism fees that are involved? I think it's going to take a committee that we will form within the first 100 days, and we will produce a result in that time between Parca, Dr. Kayvon Duravi, business leaders here in the community and our universities to see what makes the most sense. And then we present that to the citizens of the city and ask them to vote on that, if it's ad valorem or if it's anything else. But I think that we have to understand that being the cheapest isn't always the best. Today is my wedding anniversary. I can promise you I ain't buying the cheapest car and I ain't buying the cheapest gift to give to my wife today. And so we have to make sure that if we want to get the results, that we're willing to invest in this city. And I believe if we're willing to invest in the city, then we'll see better returns on that investment than we have previously.
Well, Jack, we need to hit one last break here. Okay. It's a short break, folks, only 2 minutes long. Coming back, got some patient
callers. Yeah, patient callers. We need to give them a chance.
More news and views with mayoral candidate Stephen Reed right after the break.
And baddest broadcast in all the land. Happy Hour with Greg Budell and Joey Clark. Afternoons 3 to 6 on the River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Are you ready for some football? Whether you yell War Eagle or Roll Tide, if you're fourth and goal, then it's time you call in a special team. Alabama Home Mortgage. I'm Kim Williams with Alabama Home Mortgage, where we make mortgages easy. With a starting lineup like ours, you can rest assured that you are dealing with the MVPs of the mortgage industry here at Alabama Home Mortgage. Do you feel like you're being blocked on every play? Take a time out and make the call that will change it all. Call Alabama Home Mortgage at 567-4223. Or you can visit our website, alahomemortgage.com. That's alahomemortgage.com. And select the Blink link to get started today. Together, we can create the playbook that will lead to your financial victory. Don't let the clock run out. Call me, Kim Williams, today at 567-4223. 877-927-4223. Or visit our website at alahomemortgage.com. That's alahomemortgage.com to see just how much money you could be saving with an Alabama home mortgage. NMLS 372-374, Equal Housing Lender.
Dieting is difficult. Hot yoga is hard. Spin class is tough with a tough instructor. But you know what's easy? Taking the exact vitamins and supplements that are just right for you. So don't take someone else's vitamins. You don't need to, because there's GNC for you. Personalized daily packs filled with the industry's best vitamins and supplements delivered to your door each month. And it all starts with a simple quiz. Look, the journey may be hard, but this part, it's easy. Go to GNCforYou.com. Take the free quiz.
Hi, folks. Dirk Bentley here. Being on the go is a big part of my life. I love seeing new places, meeting new people, and performing all over the world. For energy on the go, for me, it's 5-Hour Energy. It works fast, works long, and it tastes good. With zero sugar and 4 calories. Try it. It could work for your on-the-go life, too. 5-Hour Energy. Energy on the go. For more information, visit 5hourenergy.com.
Your News Talk place to be. The Dan Morris Show, noon till 3. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Welcome back to News and Views, 9 to noon. Joey Clark, Jack Campbell, Stephen Reed, candidate for mayor in-house, and Robert has been very patient. Look at that. Holding for over 20 minutes. You are patient, Robert. Hey.
Sorry, Robert.
You're on the
air.
I
talk too much.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Hey, Robert.
All right. Mr. Reed.
Yes, sir.
I spoke to you earlier in your campaign about turning community centers into learning centers.
Yes, yes.
Okay, let's take another approach. I forgot about the kids in the rural area. Let's also turn churches into community learning centers. Let's partner with these some of these churches out in the rural, and let get with them on housing some of these kids and teaching them after school the same way we would do in the city limit. Then if it gets necessary, let's take some of these schools that the city is talking about, I mean, the county is shutting down, and let's purchase one of them like Old Florida or something like that. Let's make that a learning center and a development center. We can get some of these contractors to come in with their entrepreneurs on some of their training people and train some of these kids to once become a high EMT, need their own apartment.
Listen, I think you have to admire your passion for creating the learning centers. That is a part of the apprenticeship program and the wraparound service we're talking about.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if that means acquiring a lot more property. You have to be careful, because that also comes with additional costs and maintenance and right. liability and things along those lines. So, you know.
But we already own the community centers. And we already own the libraries.
Correct.
Let's turn them into learning centers.
No, I agree. I think the community centers have to be reimagined, as you will. The community centers that I utilize probably aren't going to be what my kids would utilize today. So I agree with you on that. And again, part of that comes through the cooperation and working with not only private entities here, but those foundations that want to support us. And our 2-year college system that wants to support the apprenticeship programs as well.
Let's reach out to y'all. We got too many colleges in Montgomery that got students that's going to graduate that need learning time, need this time for to go toward their learning, to get out there and teach these kids after school.
I think that's admirable, and I think it's something that we want to look at, how we can be more involved and more effective through our Parks and Recreation program.
Well, Robert, good question, good conversation. Appreciate the call.
All right.
And very quickly,
I love Robert. He is a good caller and a good friend of this program.
Met him a few times.
Yeah.
Jason, you're on the air.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How y'all doing?
How you doing?
How about you?
Hey, I know y'all under gun for time. I got a quick question for Mr. Reed. Hey, Mr. Reed, one of the main criticisms